Great to be here in Ithaca. Well, we have a really well-known story here, the feeding of the 5,000. And as we move into this story, you know, the disciples, we remember, have seen many signs and miracles. This is the backdrop. Now, if we follow this through Matthew's gospel, also they know that John has been beheaded. And this multitude is following Jesus. And Jesus sees them, and he asks Peter, and it says to test him, how about feeding all of them? And so Peter begins his calculations, calculating the cost of feeding them and his administration of, not sure that we can really do this. Then Andrew, who seems to be always introducing people to Jesus, says, well, here's a boy with 5 loaves, barley loaves. These are probably little tiny loaves. Barley's not really the best thing to make bread out of. And probably a couple of really small fish. He says, well, here's this boy with a few loaves and a couple of small fish. And then what follows is the 5,000 get fed and there is left over. Now, there's been a great deal of speculation about what all of this means. Is this a miracle? And should we accept it as that? Were the people shamed by the young boy offering up all that he had, and they brought out food that they had? I'm not sure that any of these things are really the point of this particular message. I see this as a message for the church. The message for the church today. And I'll come back to that a little bit. If we look at, excuse me, what this is all about from John's perspective, John does tell us why he wrote his gospel. You can find it in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. He says that he has written about all these signs so that others can read and hear about them and that they can believe. And I always had this thought that my 10th grade English teacher has a Bible in her house, and on that page, she's circled that in red and written a note to John, you know, admonishing him that he should put his purpose in the first paragraph and not wait until the 20th one to say why he's writing all these things. But he does give this as his purpose, that we're called to believe. We're called to believe some other things that John tells us. We're called to believe that Christ has come. He is the Word become flesh. We're called to believe that if we can see and behold Jesus, we will see God. And we are taught that God has, strangely enough, chosen us to do his work in the world. So I think this story is a bit more about how we are to go about approaching this work. And it really tells us that we are to approach this work with unbounded, unrestrained hope. Not something that we always do. As we see here, Peter says, it's impossible. Andrew does say, well, look, this boy has got a little bit of food. And the young boy says, here. We don't see, it doesn't tell a lot about him here, but we don't see him questioning how much this little bit that he has will help. There's a story about people packaging up food to send to refugees, and they've got, you know, cans and packages and everything, and then some of this food had been gathered up into some grade schools, and among all the things that they find is a small little sack lunch with Molly written on it. You know, some small child has tossed their lunch in because there are hungry people over there, and she's willing to give up her lunch for them. And our tendency really is to be like Peter and to do the calculations. But Jesus is telling us here to be like the boy. It's a little bit crazy. Yet when we think about it, all that we are here for today started with one man, the Son of God, gathering 12 really unlikely souls. Before that, we had a few accomplishing great things. Abraham and Isaac and Moses. David with a small stone, as it says in our call here. One small stone going against a giant. Yet Peter, who's witnessed all these signs and miracles, does the calculations, tries to decide whether it's possible or not. And we see, though, that people who grasp this message of hope have done great things throughout history. Two people, Millard and Linda Fillmore, looked at this huge problem of homelessness in America and decided to do something about it. They gathered just a few followers and they started working with people who needed homes to help them build some homes. And what they began in that small beginning is now Habitat for Humanity. One unlikely man penned the words to Amazing Grace. We see a Jesus here that doesn't ask, what is it that you need to complete my ministry in this world? But he says, what do you have? And whatever you have, he says, will be enough. Even if it's only a couple of fish and a few loaves. I've seen this played out a few times. I remember a number of years ago sitting in a session meeting at another church, doing the budget, calculating like Peter. And the previous year, we had sponsored two food trucks. Well, the budget wasn't working out, so the discussion kind of gravitated towards maybe we can only do one this year. And we started to feel a little bit uncomfortable, maybe because we've heard these stories, we've read this scripture, and somewhere it sinks into us just a little bit. And we began to say, is this really who we are? And we ended up just saying, well, we'll do two food trucks. There were a few who said, we don't have any money for that. So, well, we'll figure it out. Let's just go forward on faith. I don't know how we figured it out, but we did. In Rosebush, there's a food pantry that's a cooperative among a number of churches in the area. And they have chosen to serve a particular population, you know, particular counties. And that's how this is run. And it was noted that we see people traveling from farther away and coming in. And one of the pastors in town, it wasn't me, said, oh, we should just, they're hungry. They've traveled a ways. We should feed them. People said, yeah, but we only have so much food. There's only so much on the shelves. He said, no, we should just feed them. So how are we going to do it? He says, we'll figure it out. There was a lot of calculating going on. But at the end of the day, they heeded his words and the people came and they fed them. I don't know how. I don't know where the more food came from, but somehow it did. Somehow there was enough. In Rosebush, we have a very small congregation. There are 35 members. And I had this bright idea that we should host the rotating homeless shelter. Now, this is something that is done usually with some larger churches, and they usually pair up with another church because you're going to have all these people, maybe 30, 35 people, sometimes a couple of families, and they're going to really live in your church for the week. You have to feed them every night, and somebody has to be there all the time, and it's a pretty big undertaking. Larger churches have been, you know, kind of tired out at the end of doing this. And so we said, well, let's give it a try. As it became looking more and more daunting, the first thing that happened was we were paired up with St. Mary's on campus. Well, somebody forgot that it was spring break and there was no St. Mary's on campus. So there was no help from that quarter. Yet, you know, the people who had signed up for it said, "Ah, we'll figure it out somehow." And then I sort of realized, well, we've got to come up with a lot of food for a lot of nights. And word kind of got around. And one night, the Methodists showed up. And they kicked us out of the kitchen. And they brought all kinds of food, and they fed all the people. And they told us to sit down and rest a little bit. And then they showed up the next night. And then some Catholics showed up. And then the people at Kentucky Fried Chicken gave us food for one night. Somehow, it worked out. It was a little bit messy ministry. We came to church one Sunday morning. There's cots around with all of people's possessions in them in the sanctuary. The rest of the church has mats on the floor, and it doesn't really smell very good. Messy ministry. But we were so glad and so blessed that we took that leap of faith. That was paid back to us in so many ways in terms of understanding and learning to trust. We see and we saw people like the little boy here as we've hosted this rotating homeless shelter. We've seen a new person come in. And we've seen people with all their belongings in a small bag reach in and find some clothes to give to the new person that was coming in. So we are called by these words and by these stories to be that story in the world today. Sometimes to be like the boy, to never say that we're too small or we're too few, or we're too short of resources. We're called to be impractical because we are called to faith. For there is still more light in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts. Lead us to live generously, to take on the work to which we've been called with reckless, unbounded hope, always praising your name and glorifying you. We pray these things in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen.